You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I have a couple of guests with me today. Could you please introduce yourselves?
Yeah, hi, I'm Toby Sullivan. I'm the executive director of the Kodiak Maritime Museum.
I'm Pat Branson. I'm the mayor of the city of Kodiak.
Okay, so could you tell us a little bit about the Maritime Museum, just to introduce it for those who still may not be aware of what it is?
Yeah, well, the Maritime Museum was started in the late 1990s by a group of fishermen, mostly set netters from the west side. There were others involved. They started it as a way to preserve Kodiak's maritime history, and they were focused primarily on the commercial fishing industry. And we've branched out a bit, but that's still our main focus.
Okay, and you have an event coming up that kind of falls into that basic idea.
Yeah, we do. We have the Harbor Lights Festival coming up on Saturday night, the 19th, from 5 to 9 at the Harbor Convention Center and in the boat harbors, both sides, Dog Bay and the town side. The Harbor Lights Festival, it's a child, basically, of the old Christmas boat parade, which went on for years, but was several times, maybe more than several times, the weather canceled it. It was where fishermen decorated their boats with Christmas lights, and then they all lined up on a certain evening in December, and they sailed them down the channel, and they turned them around down by Spruce Cape, and then they came back in. And it was really a fun event, but the problem was often the weather in December isn't very cooperative, and fishermen sometimes didn't want to go out, or they just didn't want to participate, or it was just too rough to participate. So the Harbor Boat Parade sort of fell by the wayside for a few years. And then I was talking to Pat Branson, the mayor, who's sitting right here with me, and we were talking about it, and we tried to figure out a way to bring that Christmas lit-up boat thing back, and that's what we've done. The basic deal is the boats don't leave the harbor. They just sit in the harbor, and then people can walk around, and the fishermen don't have to take them out of the harbor. And it's worked out pretty well. So this is the third year of that.
Wow. And what time was the parade?
Well, the parade was in late December, just before Christmas. And this takes the same time slot. It's, you know, this year it's the 19th, last year it was the 20th, and the year before I think it was the 20th. So it's right around solstice usually, just before the week of Christmas. And it's always on a Saturday, which helps people be able to get there. Friday nights in December for most people are kind of crazy, so it gives everybody a little breathing space on Saturday to get down there.
What period, as in what year?
Oh, I'm sorry. The original boat parade started probably in the 90s, and it went into the early 2000s.
Okay.
And I'm not sure when it ended. It sort of faded away slowly without much notice. I can't really tell you when it ended. So it probably went on for 10 or 15 years, maybe.
Wow. Who started that up?
I think the harbor master did.
I think you're right.
I think it was, but my memory, what was his name? Corky.
Corky McCorkle.
And his wife, yeah. I think they were the leaders of it. And as Toby was describing, the weather would get bad and it would get canceled. And then you never knew if you were going to decorate the boat and then take it out or not. So, well, this is an easier way to do it. And really a gathering of people. It's more of a gathering of the town and coming together at the convention center and then walking around on the docks to look at the boats.
I think that's a really good point, because the original boat parade was fun to look at, but people tended to watch it from their houses along the channel if they had a house there, or in their cars on the spit. Mm-hmm. So people weren't really together. They were separated out, and it was a spectator event, whereas this festival is much more of a community gathering. People are physically in the harbor. I mean, the last few years, there's been hundreds and hundreds of people with their kids and their dogs walking on the harbor floats, and it has a definite community festival feel to it. And in some ways, I mean, it's unique to Kodiak to have an outdoor festival in December, but it actually works really well. I think people in Kodiak, in a perverted way, take pride in their bad weather and revel in it sometimes. And I think that in December, in the harbor last year or the year before, it was kind of rainy, and people took it in stride and actually really enjoyed themselves just getting outside, even though it was kind of rainy.
So the first year it was done with not taking the boats out, but having harbor lights stationary, if you will. It was at the harbor master's office, right, Toby? And we were kind of nervous about how many people would show up.
We thought maybe 20 or 30 people would show up, and instead several hundred. It was hard to tell, but the harbor master's office was definitely the Fisherman's Hall was definitely overwhelmed. We had doors on both ends opened. I was terrified that the fire marshal would come down and shut us down. And there was a crowd on the dock, and we were amazed. And, you know, the cool part about it was there was people from every part of the community, people that you don't see at events. I think for those of us that are, I mean, in the nonprofit world or in a museum world, you tend to see a lot of the same people at these events because they're your social cadre. And it was really good to see people from all parts of Kodiak, cannery workers, fishermen.
And families.
Lots of families.
Right. Even with the rainy weather that Toby was describing, they were out there in their raincoats and looking at the boats. It was great. It's a wonderful gathering, as Toby described, of some real sense of community during the holidays.
Plus, there's free hot chocolate and apple cider and cookies.
Oh, wow.
So that part's good.
And then entertainment, too?
Yeah, we've had the Isle Bells and the St. Innocent's Choir and the Girl Scouts. This year, the St. Innocent's Choir will be there for sure. The Girl Scouts will be there, and we're trying to get somebody else, but it slips my mind who else might be there right now. And we're also probably just have probably some music on the soundtrack off an iPhone between the live entertainment.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so people can anticipate a surprise piece of entertainment as well.
Well, there's always a surprise there. Just, things never work out according to the plan that's on the back of my iPhone.
But it works out just fine as being a great community event and getting people downtown.
I think part of the reason that it has been a success is it's fairly loose. I mean, we have a schedule. It's from 5 to 9. But beyond that, it's pretty loose. And if people show up any time in those 4 hours, they'll get the full effect. So what people do is they go down and they walk through the harbor and then they come up for a hot drink. And, of course, you get to vote your boat, which is a big part of it, as an incentive to enjoy the festival. People can write in a ballot and put it in a jar for their favorite boat or their best decorated boat. And then we tally them up, and we got some gift certificates from Sutliff's to give to the top three boats. And last year I think we had over 500 ballots cast, and lots of people never did cast a ballot because they didn't see the jar or whatever. So that's how many people were there last year.
Oh, wow.
So we need to encourage all boat owners, whether it's commercial fleet or recreational fleet or sailboats, to get out and decorate their boats. Look at the weather today. It's a perfect day to decorate a boat.
I don't think anybody's. I was just down there and nobody was doing it.
I'll have to call my husband.
Well, last year, I mean, besides the fishing boats, that was what it was advertised as, people have jumped in. There were some people with a kayak last year that was absolutely fabulous. I mean, it was lit up like Santa's sleigh.
Did that one get an award of some sort?
It won third place. I think a lot of it was people didn't know what the name of it was. So we just saw the kayak spelled. You wouldn't believe how many ways you can spell kayak.
So how would you decorate your boat with, like, lights and...
Yeah, the string lights that you put on a tree or around the eaves of your house, that's down at Sutliff's or Walmart. That's what people are putting up. And they string them around the bulwarks of the hull, or if they're ambitious, up from the rigging. A few years ago, they decorated the Stella. They were actually the first place winner in 2013, and they ran these lights from the top of the mast down to the top of the house. It looked like a big Christmas tree, like strings of lights that were pointed together at the top, and then they spread out. It was absolutely fabulous. It was just amazing.
So some people also have those blow-up decorations that they stick on the boat. It'd be kind of fun to have live Santas or elves or something show up on the boat, too. That'd be kind of fun.
Well, Seamus Hayden last year, actually, he got in a little bit of a competition with the O'Donnells.
Right.
They're all from Ireland, and apparently they're very competitive in Ireland, and they were looking at each other's boats, and then they'd see that they'd had a new string of lights or something else on there, and they'd run up and they'd grab another thing at the store and they'd bring it back. I went down there, and Seamus was down there with his little boy, and they were putting up these wire reindeer with lights on them, and they're plugged in so the heads move, and they were up on the bow of the Clyde. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so we look forward to that again, see how they can outdo one another this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There's a lot of imagination went into it. And I know I was down there last year on Saturday, and the people on several boats, the Gallant Girl, which ended up being the winner, they had five or six people from their family down there, and they were going nuts stringing lights, and they'd turned the stringing of the lights into a party of their own, actually. There was quite a bit of action down there, so it was cool.
So people leave their lights up, Toby, do they, after the event and just the showcase for the holidays?
Yeah, I think people, I mean, that's what I've seen the last few years. We walked around on the Sunday when there wasn't any crowds and all the lights were still up, and I think they went on for another week. Part of it is probably people are done doing that kind of stuff, and then they go back after Christmas or maybe even as late as New Year's and take them down. I mean, think of all the times you've left your Christmas tree up until... I mean, my grandmother once left her Christmas tree up until July.
Wow.
I know someone in town who leaves it up until Valentine's Day. Not I, but someone I know. And so this is in St. Paul Harbor. So what about Dog Bay? Do people get to decorate there too?
Oh, yeah. It's both harbors. And, in fact, there's a little sailboat on the first finger, the G-Float, right by the Harbor Master Building in Dog Bay. And that guy has decorated it the last 2 years with just a simple string of white lights. But because it's such a pretty little sailboat and it's right by the parking lot, it really, really looks good. And then I know Wallace Fields, mm-hmm. My board president, him and his nephews decorated their boat that they used down at their Setnet site. They strung lights up. And that's way down the end of Dog Bay. So there definitely are lights, and we encourage people to do that and to also just to go over there and walk around and see what's available.
Yeah, lights have kind of transitioned from Christmas to more of just like a cheerful decoration. So I had lots of friends in college who would just line their windows with white lights, not exactly themed or anything, but just it's nice at night. And so for boat owners who just want to have a cheerful boat for a while, they might want to do it just as some motivation to do that.
Well, I think that's very true. That's a good point. I mean, lights in December, look at all the cultures in the world that have a light festival in December. I mean, right now I think it's the 9th or 10th day of Hanukkah right now. I can't remember now.
I think it's the 9th day.
Ninth day, yeah.
Coming up on the end.
I mean, and it's all about, it's the bottom of the year, it's dark.
It's really dark.
I mean, today it was a bright day, but goodness me, oh my, it's 10 o'clock before there's sunlight comes over the horizon, really. And, you know, it's interesting because lights, I mean, I fished off out west and with my own boat for many years, and we used to often put the little tiny Christmas lights. We'd string them up in the galley or in the forepeak where we were sleeping because you could leave them on all the time, and then you could see if you had to get in, go up and down on watch. You wouldn't wake other people up. And mm-hmm. Those colored lights have an ambiance that improves your mood. At least it improves my mood. I would like to believe that there's some medical reason for that. But definitely the different colored lights. I don't know if it's broad spectrum. I don't know. But
well, we can look forward to the solstice when we're all gaining more light
on
Monday. So
yeah. I'm very excited.
Me too. It's the cutoff point. It's the turning point where we get more light during the day and grow from there. So not only the artificial lights, but the real light as well.
Yeah, and it comes back fast. I mean, we've had a couple weeks of pretty dark, but by the end of January, it's noticeably brighter. So this festival, I mean, it goes right back to a long, long history and a lot of different cultures of lighting things up in late December.
What are some of those cultures?
Well, I mean, the Jews have Hanukkah, and everybody in Northern Europe has some kind of light festival or... They put the lights in their windows and things like that, candles. When I was a kid, we had all kind of things in our windows. And so I think that's very common, at least in Western culture.
I was in Iceland over Thanksgiving, and they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. But right before our Thanksgiving, they were putting up lights everywhere, in their homes and downtown in Reykjavik. It was everywhere. So, yeah, I think it is. And I think it improves people's moods. We have our public works at the city have put up lights and a Christmas tree up in front of the Harbor Master's office.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very good. We used to have, and people have asked me about this, we used to have decorations on the light poles, but there were some issues with KEA and some of the decorations got bent out of shape from the wind and that kind of thing. So they've just strung lights up downtown in the Pocket Park and in the mall, and then put up a Christmas tree. So everyone can come and look at that as well when they're downtown on Saturday night.
Hmm. You know, and interestingly, we've gotten some queries from Anchorage, people outside of town. And I wouldn't put it past maybe a future Harbor Lights, but the fact that it could become one of those things where people know about it even outside of Kodiak. I mean, right now it is very definitely a local festival. You're going to see people you haven't seen in a while because, well, maybe you see them at Safeway. But now I think, you know, I put out some press releases to outfits in Anchorage, and we've gotten a little bit of reply back. And I think that it could happen that people would come over here just for that, or if they're already here, or if they had a business trip in late December, they might try to schedule around that. We've had people who emailed us and said, I'm bummed because I'm going to be out of town. We try to have it just before everybody takes off after Christmas for Hawaii or take their kids or wherever they go. So that part's good. But I think there's interest even outside of Kodiak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kodiak, it's not just for Crab Festival tourists anymore.
Anymore, that's right.
But the Harbor Lights, too.
In the dark of winter, there's something to do in Kodiak. That's cool.
Yeah, it's so important to, in some way, combat the darkness and find a hobby or find a visual remedy like lights or colors. Like I saw pictures of a similar fishing kind of village. I think it was in Norway, and I was surprised how much it looked like Kodiak in certain ways with the docks. But the houses were just painted these vivid colors, and I love that. I think that's such a great way of getting over kind of the darkness of the winter. And I think that Kodiakers should think about that.
I agree with you. I think that we need a little bit more color than the browns and grays that we have. And those colorful Scandinavian homes and doors in England. I have a blue door. You know, it brightens up your day when you walk home or in the door. So, yeah, it would be nice to have a little bit more color.
Well, there used to be a lot of houses in Kodiak that were different colors. And they had different, there was the crab house that had a crab painted on the side, and the banana house that had a six-foot banana with arms and legs like Mr. Banana right up from across the street from the old AC building. So colors are good, especially in the winter, and light is good.
Lights are good.
Yeah.
And they'll be starring on Saturday night from 5 to 9. Literally starring.
So that's that night too.
No, that's Russian Christmas. That's in January.
That's what I thought.
That's 2 weeks after
2 weeks,
Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. What's is something going to happen then?
Oh yeah. Why don't you tell her? She needs to.
Well, Russian Christmas is 2 weeks after the traditional Christmas on December 25th, and that's when the Russian Orthodox take a star and twirl it around. It's quite colorful and go from house to house singing carols and eating goodies. And yeah,
I love carols. It's so exciting. I hope.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful event. Yeah, wonderful event.
Is it a certain number of houses or all the houses?
No, it's dependent on where they decide to go. So it's the Russian Orthodox Church and probably St. Innocent's that get together and decide where they go.
Oh, wow, really cool. And so you were speaking before about painting houses, and that reminds me of downtown revitalization. And does the Harbor Lights tie into that?
Very definitely. Yeah, the city actually gave us a little bit of money this year to help pay for some expenses, and it's definitely comes out of the idea that the downtown could use more people down there, and this kind of leads into that. And I'm sure Pat could speak to that a little bit.
Sure. We, you know, with all the commercial use out on Mill Bay and towards Rozanoff and Mill Bay, people forget about the downtown. There are certain businesses that are down there. It's not what it used to be, but the Downtown Revitalization Committee has worked on different levels for the last almost 2 years, I believe it is, and to bring more activity downtown. So there have been three committees involved, the Beautification Committee, the Safety Committee, and then the Economic Development Committee. So first, we had lots of people showing up and volunteering or interested, and people would show up and not. So we've combed it down to having chairs of those different committees and those subcommittees then meeting with different people, so we're not all gathering at one time. And we'll pick that up again after January. We had Katie St. John, who was head of the Beautification Committee, move to Anchorage, and another switch, but we've got another chair. So that, along with what's going on with Kodiak Strong and bringing cultural events downtown, and Housing First as well, that committee, I think all of that plays into the downtown area and improving it. So that's going forward. And certainly Harbor Lights brings people downtown. We sometimes forget about going downtown, except if you're going to the coffee shop or get your haircut or something. So this brings people downtown, meeting with other community members, celebrating the holidays. It's a great reason to be downtown.
You know, I think tonight they're having a the businesses are staying open later tonight.
Is it 8 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, I got an email from the chamber on that.
Right, so, yeah. I didn't know which day it was.
Yeah, it looks like it's tonight, so that's pretty cool.
Well, they're having something at the Bronoff Museum tonight, too, from 5 to 7 with Alice Reiser retiring. So that's going on at the museum downtown as well.
Okay.
So more of those kind of events certainly will bring people downtown as well. We've got, you know, the Museum Row and the Wildlife Refuge. So we have some really nice things. Pier 1 is going to be done. And so hopefully some more cultural art events will be happening downtown. Mm-hmm. We have space for it.
Sounds great. And you mentioned the city gave some money to the Harbor Lights event. Where else, how else are you funding the event?
It doesn't cost much to put it on, basically, to rent the hall and buy some, we have those little light sticks for the kids. And then there's a few other incidentals. So it isn't much. So that's been great to have the city help out. The rest of it just comes from donations to the museum from our general fund.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't take much to put it on. I mean, that in a way is the beauty of it. It's mostly just people showing up. And the people that are providing the entertainment are the folks with the boats who choose to put strings of lights up. I think in the future we've talked about actually getting some funding to help with the expense of the lights, but lights aren't that expensive to begin with, so that might be sometime in the future.
Right. And if boat owners are interested in decorating their lights, is there like a quick and easy way? Like where do they get the lights around town?
Well, I think you can get them at Sutliff's and Walmart, no doubt. And people have them from years past. But people have been very imaginative about how they've decorated their boats. As I said, sometimes they're up in the rigging, and sometimes they outline the hull of the boat with different colors. And some people have gotten very elaborate, like Seamus did last year with the bobbing reindeer. And I've seen a few Santas in the wheelhouse. I think the Sylvia Starr had a Santa in the wheelhouse last year, and I think there was one in Marty Owen's boat the year before. So that's pretty cool for kids walking around. I saw some kids that were actually pretty excited about Santa and the Sylvia Starr last year. Little kids.
Yeah, people should dress up. Wild and crazy costumes. That might help.
That's a thought.
Elves.
Elves, yeah.
Elves, yeah.
Toby could dress up as an elf.
Oh. We should all dress up. All the people involved should dress up.
I'm all for it.
All right, great.
That sounds great. I'll have to
I'll
go.
Expect it.
Do they have elf costumes at Walmart?
You could probably put something together.
Yeah. That could be.
Little paper green hat.
You know, red and white striped tights.
Uh-huh. Tights.
The curly shoes. Tights.
Uh-huh.
Just watch the movie and get some buddy
inspiration. I might have to go shopping for those.
Yeah.
Channel the buddy.
Buddy, the new Christmas favorite movie.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about seeing.
Fishermen elves. Yeah, so if you can't dress up a boat, you want to add to your boat being lit up, then come in costume.
Well, I think elves on board would definitely help with the voting, which would probably push it over the top if there was a tie. If I think of you,
I'd like to see some of those Irish guys in elf costumes.
They've got the accent for it, that's for sure.
Little leprechauns, holiday leprechauns. There you go.
So we have a few more minutes, so why don't we take the time to talk about the development on the Thelma Sea, if you could introduce that topic.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Well, the Thelma Sea, the Maritime Museum's been working on it for a long time. We've had the boat for about 10 years and have made progress all the time, although sometimes I think from the public standpoint they don't always see that progress. But we've got a couple of grants that have really helped move the project along. We rebuilt the boat in 2012 out at Kodiak College. It had sat for a while, and it hadn't been looked after very well, and we completely refurbished it with Brian Johnson, a shipwright who actually used to own the boat in the 90s. He came up, and him and Don Corwin ran a bunch of volunteers who did all this work that Brian lined out, and we got all this beautiful lumber from the Olympic Peninsula to do it. So the boat was looking really good, and we've got it in storage right now, and we are planning, if all goes well, to have it installed in the harbor before summertime. We're hoping sometime this spring. We've got the funding to actually build a platform where the boat will fit right down by Oscar's dock. And then eventually we've got to raise a little more money. Eventually it'll have a protective roof over it. It won't be a building. It'll be open on the sides with some glass panels that keep the rain off, but it'll be naturally lit. And the idea is that the boat will be a centerpiece of an exhibit, which will tell the story of Well, the boat, of course, and the earthquake and the salmon industry. And there may be a few people in Kodiak who don't know, but the boat was built in 1965 after the earthquake and tsunami when the owner, a guy named Christofferson, who was originally from Afognak, he lost his boat in the tsunami in Valdez. There was a low-interest federal loan program that came into being right after that to get all these fishermen who'd lost their boats back in the water with new boats. So the Thelma Sea was built as a result of that. There were hundreds of these kinds of boats, all of the same type, 38-foot-long wooden boats, hundreds of them built. This is one of the last ones left. I was just talking to my board member, and he said the Shearwater is still down in Larsen Bay. So the boat will be down there, and it'll have interpretive panels, and people will be able to learn more about the salmon industry and the earthquake and the tsunami.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming by, and you can join Harbor Lights on Saturday between what times?
5 to 9.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Talk of the Rock.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.